Blog Talk Radio.
For our Protestant brothers and sisters. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I want to give you a special greeting from beautiful downtown Lorain, Ohio, here in the northern section of the state, just west of Cleveland, Ohio. And I am your host of this broadcast, the very Reverend Dr. Cardinal Andrew Patrick. Today we are going to be looking into the scripture of the Ephesians, the book of Ephesians by the Apostle Paul, and we're looking specifically at chapter 2. So it is a brief chapter, I believe about, 30 verses? Yeah, not very long at all. And I think that there are a couple of wonderful points in here, and some folks may have heard a specific verse, a couple of verses that I am going to read in this. May have forgotten where they're located. So you can jot that down and highlight it or whatever you want to do in reference to it. Well, to get started, we do have some prayer requests, and I am very glad that we did get some in. First one comes from our brother Frederick Meekins. His mother, Bonnie, needs immediate prayer for an overwhelming need of healing for arthritis and other physical ailments. So we ask that the Lord bless Miss Bonnie, Sister Bonnie, and Brother Meekins for the love and consideration to ask for prayer and the humility to do so as well. Our second one comes from Brother Jim Bonica. Today is a auspicious day for him. His ex-fiancee, Chrissy, passed away 3 years ago today, and he would like prayer in her memory and to be lifted up for everyone who has lost a loved one. And I think everybody can relate to some degree to the loss of a loved one and someone special to them, be they immediate family or friends or co-workers, what have you. So we lift up all of those saints that have been called home, and we ask that the Lord bless them and keep them close to them, to him. Our third one comes from Brother Kyle. And Brother Kyle literally called me on the phone not even 30 minutes ago and needed to talk. And I gave him as much time as I could as I was preparing for this program. However, he asked for prayer for divine guidance and for those with special needs like Asperger's and autism, that they would have better relationships with others that do not have or an understanding of this disability that he and others have to deal with. And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, when we think about Christ and the ministry of Christ, he was the healer, and he can heal and touch anyone's heart. We deal in a world that is very secular. It is very carnal. It is very worldly. And it is a selfish world. And fortunately, and to some folks, unfortunately, we live and live for the respect of a selfish God. And that is, if we truly follow his commandments, then we will have no other God before him. And unfortunately, the world doesn't look at it that way. They value the God of money. They value the God of relationship. They value the God of stuff over their relationship and walk with Christ. And in that respect, that is somewhat what we will be talking about here in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2 today. So let us begin with our prayer in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, in the words that our Savior gave us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Well, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, as I adjust the program here on the screen, it gives me a better idea of time and what's going on. I ask you for your prayers for the ministry and your thoughts and meditation on what we discuss here today, Ephesians chapter 2. So let us begin. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, lowliness of mind. Let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Verse 6. Who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of man. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in the absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Verse 17. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and I rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state, for I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. Verse 21. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. Therefore, I hope to send him at once, as soon as I see how it goes with me. But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly. Yet I consider it necessary to send to you, if I pronounce this correctly, I hope, Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, but your messenger and the one who ministered to my need, since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. Verse 27. For indeed he was sick, almost unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I sent him the more eagerly, and when you see him again, you may rejoice, and I may be less sorrowful. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord, with all gladness, hold such men in esteem, because the work of Christ, he came close to death, not regarding his life, to supply what was lacking in your service toward me. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, he jumps to a number of wonderful points in understanding and reflection. And the first one I am going to touch on is the sections between verse 6 and verse 11, keying in on verse 8 and 9, 10, 11, and 12. Excuse me. He says in verse 8, and being found in appearance as man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, sometimes, I mean, we know that Christ suffered. We know that he died on the cross. We know that he loved us that much. We know that God loved us so much that he sent Christ to us, to the world, so that we would have hope and salvation. But ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, how many of us understand the torment, the anguish and the pain and the suffering that Christ actually had to deal with, that was inflicted upon him? I mean, we get people that get offended if they're called a name, or if they don't get their way, or they seem to think that no one is listening to them, they take great offense, and they start to object and demand and create a hostile environment on a number of situations and scenarios in their lives, affecting others. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's not what Christ died for. He didn't die so that you could be self-centered and, how do I put it, sensitive. We need to be good soldiers. And that's what Paul goes on to say in this message, and we'll get to that. But here is the catch-22. In verse 9, 10, 11, we forget that God is to be revered. He is to be respected. He is to be humbled before. In other words, you need to repent. You need to recant. You need to reestablish your relationship with Christ. And sometimes that needs to be done on a daily basis. But why do we need to do that for Christ? I mean, we know that Christ loves us. We know that he forgives us. But ladies and gentlemen, over a period of time, we become numb to that. We begin to take for granted. And I think in this message, we need to reflect on the sincerity that God put on Christ and how we as followers, Christians, professed Christians, Christians that walk around with a cross around their neck, even though they do ungodly things as they wear it, thinking that they have the protection of God. You don't, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and it's because you have not fallen to that level of humility that Christ did. And we look at that where he says, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth. We're going to stop right there for a moment. Every knee in heaven shall bow. Every knee on earth, when they have the epiphany, oh my God, he really does exist. Oh, did I really mess up? Too late. I don't want it to be too late for you. And then every knee under the earth. Now, he's not talking down in the ground, down in the mantle of the earth, down in the core of the earth. He is talking about hell. He is talking about the subdomain. He's talking about the world of evil, of deception, of hate and anger. Every knee there shall bow to the name of Jesus Christ. That's exalted. Do you respect God enough to give Christ that accreditation? Will you bow before him and pray? Will you bow before him and ask for forgiveness? If not, ladies and gentlemen, you might as well turn this program off, because I got nothing to say to you anymore, as much as I'm going to try to keep on reaching you. But if you're not willing to listen to what the Holy Scriptures have to say, the divine word of God, and take it seriously, then there is no hope for you. You will be counted as one of the goats, and Christ will come and separate his sheep from the goats. The sheep will go with him to heaven, and the goats will go with Satan to hell. And that's for eternity, but again, that's your choice. So let's move on here. Verse 14, he says, do all things without complaining and dispute. Do all things without complaining and dispute. Well, I don't know of a child that won't complain and when it's bedtime. I don't know of a teenager that will complain about having too much homework. I don't know of an adult that won't complain about having to work the weekends when they want to go out and relax and have a good old time with their friends. But what about complaining and the such when it comes to our faith? Do all things without complaining and disputing. All things, ladies and gentlemen, not just those things that we find uneasy or uncomfortable to deal with in our lives, but those things that are a blessing to others. Sometimes we know that to reach out and help a friend that might be moving. Give somebody some money to help them over a rough time. To do the things that God puts into our hearts, but we really don't feel like doing it. And so we buck it. We put it off. We try to ignore it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, what if Christ did that to you? What if God did that to you? In a sense, they do it to you. Because when you hit your rock bottom and you reach out and you say, God, I'm a Christian and I need your help and I need this this friend is sick and this, and they don't answer your prayer. Well, think about it from that standpoint. How many times have you complained and bucked? And that's up to the Word of God. I can see it every single day outside my door, in this apartment, in this community, in this neighborhood. I see it every single day. I hear it. I see these people with their Christian crosses on their neck, and yet I hear what comes out of their mouth, which comes from their heart, and how they are complaining and disrupting those around them with their issue. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's what we need to remember. Those are our issues, and we need to deal with them, and God will help us to deal with them if and only if every knee shall bow and confess to Christ. So, with that, and we still have a few minutes, let's move on to verse 15. He says, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, that among you, whom you shine as lights of the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I know I have not been clergy as much as I have been a minister over the years to other people. I know that my words and the sincerity of my understanding of the scriptures have touched people's hearts and has changed their lives. I don't, like Paul, want that to be in vain. And I expect, as Paul did, that by not disputing or arguing or disrupting the flow of the faith and the faithful, that we stand righteous in the Word of God in our lives and become that light for the world. Even though the world around us and those that are around us, be they friends or family, co-workers or classmates, what have you, are still very much a part of this world. It's all they know. And yet the world deceives them every single day. Yet the Holy Scriptures do not deceive. It points out the errors in this world. It points out the errors in man's thinking. It points out the errors in your thinking and in your heart. And it requires that you change that thinking, that heart, that understanding to what is God's way, Christ's way, the apostles teaching that, the disciples experiencing and devoting their lives, the saints of heaven that have dedicated their life, those that were Templars and defended that right, so that you today have the opportunity to live truly free as a Christian, which is what God wants for you, openly, not in the caverns, in the caves, or in the deserts, or in the mountains. Although, the way the world wants it, it may come to that. And again, you need to be prepared. Are you going to stand with Christ and take that? Leave your mansions, leave your homes, leave your wealth and your belongings and your love of family and friends behind to protect the faith and to live the faith. This is what we pray is not done in vain in our efforts to try to reach your heart and to have you change from your ways to those that are more godly. In verse 21, he says, "For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus." Now, he's talking about those around him that he would like to send down there, but they have ulterior motives. And it was funny that Brother Kyle was talking to me about that very same thing, about how there are clergy out there that are selfish and demanding, and they feel that they've earned this respect and this lifestyle that is grandiose by world standards. And he doesn't understand where the humility is anymore in the clergy. And that's the one thing that I try to bring forth in the ministry of the Celtic Cross. We're not rich. We don't have a building outside of our own homes. We don't have a grandiose corporate headquarters type of thing, but we call this little address and this little place, office, as that. And we function and we strive with great humility to reach the masses around our communities and around our nation and around our world with the love of Christ and the respect of Christ. But the world has their hand out. And yet, I see it every single day in the food lines and the clothing lines here around the churches within just a block of me that have food pantries. I see these people driving up in their brand new 2016, 2015 automobiles, parking 3-4 blocks down the street or around a corner, and then walking and standing in a food line to get free food. I've seen people that have lied about having multiple people in their family so that they get more when in reality it's just them. I see them not going to just one food bank, but I see them collecting food stamps and getting that money, which is about $200 per person a month in their family, approximately. It does vary depending on their incomes. But then at the same point, they're going to multiple food banks. And again, like I said, it's usually just them or maybe one other person. And they're stocking up. I had one gentleman that at one time brought a dolly with, I'm not exaggerating, a dozen cases of soda pop. And I said, "Where'd you get that from?" He says, "Oh, the church just gave it to me. I told him I had 14 kids." Ladies and gentlemen, this is not Christian. This is not what we need to be working with. So we need to be very careful. In the very last verse, in the last minute here, it says, "Because for the work of Christ, he came close to death with no regard of his own life." Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, ask yourself an honest question. Are you willing to lay down your life for Christ? Are you willing to just pick up your Bible on a daily basis and read and ask for discernment? Are you willing to turn off the TV and go and help a friend or a neighbor or those that are suffering around you? Ladies and gentlemen, this is what it means to be a Christian. Yes, you need to take time for yourself. And there are times you need to be a little selfish. But don't let that selfishness override what is truly godly in your life and what Scripture tells you to do. Because if you do, then your reward will be great in heaven. And if you don't, well, a place for you in hell. This is the very Reverend Dr. Cardinal Andrew Patrick with The Sower for this week. And we hope that you'll join us again next week for another chapter in discernment of Bible study. God bless, and we'll talk to you next week.